We're in a mini-series of Colossians, and last week Keith spoke really well and encouraged us. He kind of stuck to chapters 1 and 2, and there's lots of things that he shared, but I just wanted to pick up on a couple of things that really spoke to me. And he spoke about hope and how hope is so key to our walk with God, and not worldly hope, which is linked to our desires, but godly hope, which is certain, which is secure. Heaven-based hope, it anchors our soul to God. It motivates and inspires us to live godly lives. And you know, whatever happens in our life, we have a very real hope, don't we? And then he talked about power. Now, I like this. The last promise Jesus made to us before he ascended was that we would be filled with his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and a power to live a life worthy of the Lord. And please him in every way, to bear fruit in every good work, growing in knowledge, being strengthened in all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. I know I want this power in me. We need it. And you know, just thinking about power, this made me think about my wife, Gina. She's in the creche now with our two boys. And it just made me think about when she was pregnant. And any mum here will relate. But 9 months is a long time. It's a long time. Like, and what she went through is, you know, from being nauseous and going to bed at like 8 o'clock every night. And then, you know, you move through the different trimesters and the body takes a toll and it's tiring. You know, it's really hard for the dad. Just you feel a bit useless, really. But there's nothing you can do about the time. You can't speed it up. You can't make it go faster. It is a set time that you just have to go through. And obviously, it's a beautiful thing. But there's a really good work happening inside that belly. There's something really good going on. You know, it's something really worthwhile going through that time. And it's something really worthwhile being patient and enduring and just, you know, being thankful for what's happening, right? And, you know, the proof is my two sons or your children, you know, incredible what happens. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it just made me think, like, spiritually, obviously, I'm not talking naturally, but you may be pregnant right now. You may be pregnant right now. The word of God is a seed, and it works in the unseen places in our lives and in our hearts, doesn't it? And our job, if you like, is to live a life worthy of God, is to live a life that is pleasing to him. Because we don't always know what God's doing in the background. We don't know how God is organizing different situations and seasons of our life to bring about some alignment, to bring about some timing where suddenly there's a breakthrough, suddenly there's an opportunity, suddenly there's something that makes sense. We don't always have control over this, but we walk by faith, don't we? And we have to be patient sometimes, and we have to endure. And I think our part of the bargain, if you like, is to keep a heart that's open to God and to keep a heart that's humble before God. And actually, Paul says repeatedly to be thankful. Thankfulness is so key, isn't it? Thankfulness is like, you know, just give thanks to the Father. Be joyful. Because God is working in us and through us always. So, a question we can ask, how do I please you, God? How do I steward what you're growing in my life? And we know that we please God by faith. We can't please him without faith, as we read in Hebrews. Faith is our positive response to his grace, to what he's already done, what he's already won for us and given for us. Is our response to him, which is such a beautiful thing we get to do this side of eternity. And so God is working in your life right now. And I just said, like, do you believe it? Do you believe that God is working in you right now? Like, you know, when you're pregnant in the natural, you know, you can, at least you go through the stages and you can see the difference. You can see the belly getting bigger and you can feel the movement and everything. But sometimes, like I said, we don't get to see what God is doing always. But we've got to got to stand in faith. Amen? All right, so chapter 1, 15 to 20, Paul writes a poem, apparently. I didn't know it was a poem until I researched it, but a poem about Christ. I'm not going to read it for time, but basically, you know, it's this incredible language about, you know, Christ is the image of God. He's the firstborn of all creation. He created everything. He's all powerful. He holds all things. This is who he is, you know, fully God, fully man. And yet he's also the firstborn of a new creation. And he's the head of a new body, which is you and me, his church. And he reconciles us to himself, which is incredible, through his death and his resurrection. And so in Christ, as we know, we are this new creation. And he is the prototype, if you like, of this new creation. So we get to live, basically, this side of eternity, we get to live a life as if we are a mini Christ on this earth. That's what we get to do. We know one day we'll meet him face to face, and there'll be this spiritual and physical coming together, and, you know, we'll live in the fullness. But what Paul is saying here is that actually we've been raised with him. Amen. So we can live like him right now, which is incredible. So, picking up this letter to the Corinthians, I'm just going to read a chunk of chapter 3, Corinthians. I'm not going to read Corinthians, because that would be a waste of time this morning, because I'm not teaching on it, even though it's good to hear the word of God. I'm going to read Colossians. I blame Keith, because he did it as well. Anyway, so here we go. Chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against one another. Pause. Anyone got a grievance here? Anyone holding on to something against somebody? Forgive as you have been forgiven. It's right here in the word. I'm not making this stuff up. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. To God the Father through him. Yeah, so Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for the wisdom and the life that is in this word. And, you know, if I say nothing of use today, at least you've heard that. So that's good. All right, so what's clear here is the resurrected life of Jesus is a very transformed life, isn't it? It's a totally different way of living. It's a totally different way of going about life. There's clear evidence of change in you. If you read what you know, the kind of things that he lists of your old life and the things that he's listing of the new life, They're totally, totally different. How we act, how we talk, how we respond, how we think. Why? Because we've been raised with Christ. We are now a new creation. And yet Paul tells us, doesn't he, since we've been raised with Christ, to set our hearts and minds on things above, not on earthly things. For our life is hidden in Christ. So, what did Christ do after he was resurrected? Well, Jesus left the tomb. That's the first thing he did. So should we. We don't live in death anymore. We don't live in defeat. We're not dead in our sins. We're not dead in our belief. We're alive. We should carry life everywhere we go. We should carry life into every situation. We should carry hope and faith into every aspect of our life. Because we are alive in Christ. We're eternal. To know Jesus is to know eternal life. You know, dead in your thinking. Sometimes we can just think so negatively, and we can allow worry and fear to bombard us and just to create this framework of how we think and how we process and what we're going to do. And it's death. We've got to get out of the tomb. Because that's the first thing Jesus did. Amen? All right. So after his resurrection, Jesus spent time being with and ministering to his disciples. So should we. And this is what a big part of church is about. We're called to be with one another, to encourage one another. Amen. You know? Yeah. You can't really separate church from your walk with God, I don't think. Because church is the people of God. And we're called to encourage and be the body of Christ. This is what Jesus did. After his resurrection, Jesus lived in supernatural power with the ability to do impossible things. So should we. Because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So we can change circumstances. We don't live by the rules and regulations of this earth in that way. We belong to a greater kingdom now. We serve a greater king. And this is what Jesus did. So this is what we can do. Amen? And after his resurrection, Jesus looked forward to heaven, knowing he would soon enough ascend there. So should we, recognizing that our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Yes, we live in the UK or whatever country you come from, but we have a greater citizenship. We've been made right with God. We have legal rights with God. And I know we know this, but to actually walk this out and to live this really changes everything. It's so powerful. So all this to say that our perspective is key, isn't it? So the world lives this, you know, in the world we live externally. We live in circumstance. We read the news. We, you know, devastating often. The news is fear-based. It's constantly living in problems, living in different situations, and we live from all of these different places. And that's how the world lives, discouraged about what they don't have. And it's not that we deny that these problems are real. It's just that we understand that our lives are now in Christ. We live from a different place. We see things from a different way. We have a different perspective. Amen? Amen? And this is so key to what Paul is saying. We have the internal reality of Jesus living inside of us. And the powerful expectation of his presence working through us. We experienced that this morning. We've already experienced the presence of God. Amen. And we've already prayed for one another and encouraged one another this morning. And I said it already, but the world can't offer us any wisdom with regards to God's kingdom. So why live subject to the world? There's an opportunity for us to see the way God sees and to think the way God thinks. So we can ask him, God, give me your perspective on this. How do I, you know, this situation that I'm in, this decision that I need to make, what are you saying about it? What's your wisdom in this situation? You know? I know it sounds simple, but do we do it? Do we put it into practice? Paul, in the prison, speaks of joy, speaks of freedom. How can he do that? Because of his perspective, he has Christ. He's already free. So he's able to encounter joy. He's able to encourage others when he's chained up and doesn't really have a future. Great. You know, it didn't really work out well for most of the disciples, did it? They all came to a pretty bad end. But the most glorious end. Because they knew Christ. This is hard for me. I've got to be honest. I don't do well with this. I struggle to have this godly perspective because I want things to work out now and I want to understand now. You know? But it makes me think about, you know, the teaching about you don't pour new wine into an old wineskin. If you want new wine, you've got to have a new wineskin. So you've got to have a redeemed revelation. You've got to have a new way of thinking, a new framework, a new understanding to walk in the new things of God. The old man, your old self that was crucified, cannot walk in the new things that God has for you. It's not possible. Dead men don't walk, only in zombie films. And that's not real life, guys. I'm saying that to Simon. But, you know, so we've got to be redeemed. We've got to have what does it say in Romans? You know, be renewed, the renewing of our mind. To really walk in. Because it says, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but if we don't, we can lose or miss out on what's available to us. The wine can be lost. That means you can lose or miss out on what Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you because you're not able to embrace what he wants to do through you because you haven't been redeemed in your thinking. Right, anyway. So, and I just had here, we can easily get stuck on the why. Why me? Why now? Why is this happening to me? And again, this is really hard. Like, mum's not here, bless her, but my mum's had like this horrendous cough my whole life, 40 years. Now, I don't know why. She's been prayed for 100,000 times. I don't know why, you know? But what I do know is that God in his wisdom, let me get this right, he allows in his wisdom what he could prevent in his power. So God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent in his power. Because we all know that God can just, you know, boom, miracle, here you go, do. But then the why question is earthbound and not heaven-based. Yeah. And I think sometimes we have to allow ourselves to let go of the why and invite God into that conversation and hear what he's saying to us. It doesn't mean that God's not healing. God's already healed. He's already done the finished work 2,000 years ago. But it's this understanding of that he wants to speak to us and we can't do it by ourselves. Is everyone okay? Yeah, I'm not losing anybody here. I feel like I'm just, you know, having a little chat, but man, time goes so fast. But we have the Holy Spirit. That's what I wanted to say. It's like our own personal assistant. God's given us a member of his own self, the Godhead, to come and live and dwell in us, to help us walk in what he's already purchased for us. That's how much he wants us to get it. We have everything on our side to walk in and be and walk out this new creation. All right, so verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And this is really what I felt God wanted to say this morning, is that when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with your old nature for good. The old man, the old you, the old nature is dead. It's dead. God is not working on your old self. He's not trying to make the old you better. God is totally focused on who you are in Christ, your new identity, and developing you in your new identity and the gifts that he's given you and the new nature so you can walk in freedom in Christ. Does that make sense? Amen. So he's not, in that sense, God's not dealing with the behavior of your old man. I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit, but this really made me think of... Oh, no, I'll hold it. So, Jesus achieved for us, what he achieved for us on the cross is just incredible. He He freed us from having to strive for a relationship with God, and Jesus invites us into a new relationship with him. And this is a good example. So Acts 4:13, when the religious leaders were watching Peter and John, they were perplexed. These guys didn't have an education, but they had been transformed by years of walking and talking with Jesus. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. So just hanging out with Jesus, being in his presence, really understanding who he is and what he's done for you and what he's done for me. You know, he wants to work on your new identity. And I feel like the temptation we have as humans is to constantly go back to our old ways, constantly go back to condemnation, constantly go back to our old way of thinking. But to live life in Christ and to live life to the full and to really embrace what God wants to do for you, we have to accept and understand that we are a new creation in him. At the cross, the mold was broken. So now we can have a relationship with God. It's no longer about keeping all the rules and regulations, which Paul addresses in chapter 2. It's getting into his presence. You know, they used to go into the temple one or two times a year. Now we are the temple of God. It's totally new. Jesus gladly took the initiative to break this mold. You know, if you're walking around, if you were holding a large piece of glass, or I don't know, a big mirror, and you tripped, and you stumbled and it smashed into 1,000 pieces, you're not going to put that mirror back together or that glass back together. And your old man has been shattered. Your old life is gone. You can't piece it back together. And I think the temptation that the enemy, that the world tries to pull you into is like, how do I fix myself? How do I do this? How do I make this better? And as much as your intention might be good, your theology is off. Because you are a new creation. You've been made new today in Christ. And as we walk this out, of course, walking this out relationally with God, God is going to deal with all of these things that he wants to deal with in your life. But we have to start from the standpoint of our identity is in Christ. We're not lost, we're hidden. We're hidden in him. The old man is dead. We are alive in Christ. So, there's no more old you to fix up. The old man doesn't exist. This is what I really want you to take away. God sees you in the new man, which is Christ in you, and this is the whole new focus. So why go back to your old ways? And Paul says instead, clothe yourselves with, let's just read it, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. You know, the parable of the lost son, and I'm amazed how many times I talk about this because I feel like everyone talks about this. But it just made me think about the younger son who, you know, disrespects his dad, doesn't he? And he goes off and does all this wild living. And then when he comes back, what does the father do? He doesn't sort out his behavior. He doesn't try and fix him. He clothes him. With what? With compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Doesn't he? He embraces him as he is and says, this is your identity. This is who you are. The old has gone, the new has come. And from, you know, and I just think like, When we understand who we are in Christ, the authority that we carry, the value that we carry, from that place, we're able to walk with God in a new way. And he really wants to develop us, and he really wants to develop who are we in Christ. That's what God is interested in. He's already dealt with the old stew, sinner stew. His father doesn't condemn his behavior or try to change him. He deals with him as he sees him. His debt is paid, his sins forgiven. He's in the kingdom. There's celebration and rejoicing because he was lost, now he is not. And I say, you're not lost, you're hidden in Christ. And then it goes on, just to end the chapter, rules for Christian households. And of course, under Roman power, you know, the Romans ruled very harshly. They held all the power of life and death. And for a woman, that probably wouldn't have been much fun. But under the lordship of Christ, this is totally transformed. Because all of a sudden, you know, wives submit to your husbands. It's out of surrender because they're already submitted unto Christ. So all of a sudden, there's this safety. I want to submit to you because I'm submitted to God and because you're submitted to God. And then husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Why? Because they're under the umbrella of Christ. The whole thing is transformed. So my point is that the old man is dead. We're a new creation. And I just think this is such a powerful, powerful picture and truth. And I think that's all I want to say. Yeah, so Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have dealt with our sin. You have dealt with our old man. You've dealt with our past life. I thank you, Lord, that you're not climbing up on the cross and getting crucified every 5 minutes. You've done it once and for all. And every time we make a mistake or we fall short, Lord, that by faith we can come to you and we can receive complete forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, that you are creating us in your image through relationship, just like you did in the garden, Lord, that we're being redeemed today to walk out this new identity in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you're celebrating us. There's celebration in heaven because we're not lost. We're hidden in you. And I pray, Father, for this revelation, this truth about our identity, about who we are, to really rise up in us, Lord. And where the enemy tries to deceive us and tries to get us to, you know, that all of a sudden that we have to fix everything and that we have to, it's our works, Lord. I pray, Father, know that you will remind us and help us to walk in the truth of our new identity, Father. That we're a new creation in you. Yes, Lord. Amen.